بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 13 من شهر ربيع الأول 1446 الموافق ل 17 من شهر سبتمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last week we started dealing with the hadith of Jabir ibn Sulaym. قال رأيت رجلا يصدر الناس عن رأيه لا يقول شيئا إلا صدر عنه فقلت من هذا. He was talking about an event that he was there with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. At the time he did not know Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I saw a man, everyone is rushing towards what he says. He would never say something except you see people rushing to get that which he says and apply it. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا. So I asked the one who was with me or anyone who was next to him, مَنْ هَذَا. قَالُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he asked people next to him, they told them, this is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقُلْتُ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ. He said, I went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and I said, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَا تَقُلْ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ وَتَحِيَّةُ الْمَوْتَى. He said, I told him, عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ, بِهَذَا اللَّفْظِ. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I said to him, لَا تَقُلْ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ, don't say عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ, because عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ is the method of greeting the dead ones. When you visit the grave, when they used to visit a dead person, they say عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ, they don't say السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. That was in the Jahiliyyah time, but in Islam, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم abrogated this, cancel it and replace it with that which is better for us. Assalamu alaikum, ahl al-diyar, min al-mu'minin wal-mu'minat, wa inna insha'allahu bikum lalahiqoon, nas'alullah lana wa lakum al-afiyah. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم fixed, and he told them, this is the way they used to greet the dead ones. قال قلت أنت رسول الله. So I asked him, are you رسول الله؟ قال أنا رسول الله الذي إذا أصابك ضر فدعته كشفه عنك. He said, I'm the messenger of Allah, the one that whenever you are afflicted by a calamity or anything that harms your life, you usually approach him and he will give you relief, remove it from you. The one that when you are in a state of hardship and difficulty, you approach him for a solution. He said, that one was the one who sent me. And we talk about this, this is a manhaj of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in giving da'wah. Every single person, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has an approach for him, depending on the place where he is coming from. Those people from the badia, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has an approach. Those people from the city, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has an approach. There's bara'at, da'iyah. You will never find a method which is greater than his, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْكَ عَامٌ, وَإِذَا أَصَابَكَ عَامٌ سَنَةٍ فَدَعَوْتَهُ أَنْبَتَهَا لَكَ. The one that whenever you are in a state of drought, famine, you're looking for rain so that you can grow your farm. You remember the one that you always ask? Yeah, because those people, even the non-Muslim among them, they recognize that Allah is the Most High. And He's the one who yakshifu al-dur. The raja they have towards Him is much more than the raja they have towards others. That's why that one, when he was asked, كم إله تعبد؟ قال ست. How many إله you have? He says six. He says, خمسة في الأرض وواحد في السماء.
Subhanallah.
He said, I have one above the heavens and six, five here with me. They asked him, who do you have hope the most? Whenever you need support and help, he says, Alladhi fis sama. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, when he was running away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what drew his attention? To understand that yes, he's making a wrong decision. Is that when there was a strong wave on the sea, the Malah, the captain on that boat, he told them, you should know that your Aliha will never benefit you here. Akhlisid du'a ilayhi. SubhanAllah. Your kuffar, all of them. But he was telling them that they should know that these Aliha, they will never benefit you today. Just go back to him. SubhanAllah, aqlan, if you have this thinking, you should understand that. Why can't you just stick to that one that you believe he's the one who can benefit you all the time? Because you believe, he is saying that these guys, they cannot benefit now. You have to go back to the one who is the only one who can benefit you in these moments. Why don't you just stick to him rather than bringing all of these other objects? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing, you know, the man through what he already knows. Because these are facts. لديهم, even if they have little knowledge in Islam, but they do understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. قال وإذا كنت بأرض فقر أو فلاة فضلت راحلتك فدعوته ردها عليك. He said, he's the one that whenever you are in a desert, al-mahlaka and those mahalik, and you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after losing you, your camels. You have a camel and you lost it in that place. فَدَعُوتَهُ. He's the one that when you ask him to bring it back, he will bring it back to you. Yeah, because they have circumstances when this happened to them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring him to those facts that he knows. قال قلت اعهد الي قال لا تسبن احد. الله اكبر. So after this, he told him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, advise me with something that I will be doing to succeed in this life. What would you advise me to do, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I gave him these wasaya al-qayyima, al-tayyiba, al-mubaraka, wasaya al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kulluha qayyima. Kulluha qayyima. It's just up to us to take it and succeed, or to reject it and fail in life. And nobody will help you. Allah did not force you, but he told you that the only way for you to succeed in this dunya is his path. Stay away from it and get lost and get into trouble. Just up to you to make a choice, but there is a heavy accountability in this dunya and the akhirah. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, any advice? What should I be focusing on? قال لا تسبن أحد. Don't you ever curse anyone. Allahu Akbar. Say لا تسبن أحد. Don't you ever insult anyone. Don't curse anyone. Don't abuse anyone. Don't harm anyone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tusubban ahad." And this is good, especially for the parents to take this behavior and attitude. Your kids shouldn't hear from you any bad words. Allah, this is big adab that we have to learn. They shouldn't hear from you bad words. So you're going to have some issues sometimes between you and your spouse. Yeah, sometimes if there is no good tarbiyah, the voice will be raised up. The father and the mother should try to conceal this from the kids. And if they happened to know that there is something going on, they should maintain adab, no matter how much angry they are. They can go to the room and fight each other and do whatever they want, but in front of the kids, this is not appropriate. Because kids, they will take stand. They will take stand, and who do you think they will side with? No, that's wrong. Who do you think they will side with? The weak one amongst them. Whether he has a right or doesn't have the right, with him, but whoever seems to be the weak one amongst them, the kids would side with that one. That's aqliyatul tifl. And it's not appropriate for them actually to know all of these. This creates this great trauma in their brain and it affects them psychologically when they grow. Many kids that have these type of mental issues, you know, sometimes when you go back to the history in the family, you see, subhanAllah, some of them will tell you that I never saw my parent happy. I never saw them living in a peaceful way. They always fight. Yeah, so you can understand why this is affecting the well-being of the kids also at the same time. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "La tusubbanna ahad," don't you ever insult anyone. Yeah, so people are going to insult you, right? No reply. Yeah, the best reply for somebody who doesn't have manners and he insults you is to keep quiet. Although it's too hurting, you know, for you to be told to be patient. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءُ. What is ضِيَاء? ضَوْءُ الشَّمْسِ وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورُ وَالنُّورُ وَالضِيَاء كِلَاهُمَا نُورُ. Both of them are light. نُور, ضِيَاء, both of them are light. But the scholar said صَبْر, the light that comes from it, it described as ضِيَاء because it comes with harara, hot temperature. Yeah, because a person will not come to you and give you a huge amount of money and tell you sabr. Give you a job and tell you sabr. Give you a wife and tell you sabr. When do we tell people sabr? When something happens to calamity or somebody hurts them, please observe patience. So it's too bitter. That's why some said it is called from, it is taken from the word sabir. This shajara, which is too bitter. Never ate something in my life that is more bitter than this shajara. It's a medicine, but it's too bitter. They said sabr is taken from this shajara, sabir. Allahu alam. But the best remedy to address those people who insult you is sabr and patience. Not to reply with the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامُ. Allah says in three places in the Quran, اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. وَلَا تَسْتَوِ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. It's okay for you if you want to take revenge, but it is not good for you. It is not good for you to take revenge. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never took revenge in his life. If you see him fighting somebody, that's when the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been violated. قَالَ لَا تُسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا قَالَ فَمَا سَبَبْتُ بَعَدَهُ حُرًّا وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَاتًا. Allahu Akbar. He says, don't curse anyone, don't insult anyone. This Bedouin says, he says, I have never insulted anyone after the Prophet ﷺ. Whether this person was a slave, or this person was a free person. Even camels, he says, I don't insult even camels. Even animals, he doesn't insult them. Yeah, that's a peak of understanding the advice of the Prophet ﷺ and taking it and applying it correctly. I guess this is very, very clear. قَالَ وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَهْتًا. So he says, I've never, you know, cursed anyone. I applied this properly. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, this is the second wasiyah. He says, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. He says, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't you ever belittle al-ma'ruf, righteous deed, kindness. No matter how much small it is. Yeah. And this is very good for us to understand this, especially in this time of ours, where people belittle the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have kushur, we have lubn. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa afiyah. That's what some people will describe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kushur wa lubn. We don't have kushur wa lubn. We have lubn kullu. A lubn is the essence, the main thing. You know, when you have the fruit, you are taking the skin and removing it and throwing it away, and then eat at the inside. The thing you are eating is a lubn. Do you think it's appropriate for somebody to come and describe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this? Kushur, lub, a'udhu billah. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises to do, kulluhu lub, ad-din kulluhu lub. There's no kishr, there's nothing. Kulluhu lub. And wallahi, you don't know which part of your righteous deed will take you to paradise. You don't know. Yeah, that's why you shouldn't belittle anyone. Just do what you're told that Allah loves it, just do according to your ability. What you're told that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves it, just do it according to your ability. It will succeed. We mentioned many times from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a prostitute woman fed a dog. Qala an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَشَكَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهَا وَغَفَرَ لَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciate what she did, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her sins. She got paradise because of this. Yeah, you might say this one, she made some efforts to go under the well and then inside the well and bring the water and then give it to him, you know, to that dog. I have another example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was a man who was walking, and then he found something that is harmful on the road. He just moved it at the side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciate what he did and forgive his sins. This is Rabbul Alameen, you Allah. You don't know which part of your righteous deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take and help you. The Sahih al-Raqif that we mentioned, taken from the hadith, with the author of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one piece of bread saved him from hellfire. Nobody will ever think of this, you know. You Allah, nobody will ever think of this, you know. Ibadat 70 sana, he worshiped Allah for 70 years, he messed up everything for 7 nights. If I am to ask one of us, we will say, oh, this person succeed. Sayarjah kifatu Al-Hasanat ala kifati sayyah. You will say on the mizan, for sure the righteous deed of 70 years is going to be greater and heavier than the evil deed of only 7 nights. Only 7 nights. But on the hereafter, you know, it is not based on our own niqiyas. Allah is the one who major. You don't know the mass and the weight of something. You Allah. That's why when they put the 70 years, 7 nights, the 70 years became very light. And the 7 nights are way heavier than the 70 years. According to the ayah that says, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. According to this mizan, the righteous deed are way low, and the evil deed are heavier. Where is he going? Where is he going? Hell, according to this concept. But Rabbuka Kareem, amongst his righteous deed, the last thing he did, one of the last thing he did after Tawbah ila Allah Azza wa Jal, because he repented. Amongst the righteous deed he did, it was a piece of bread he gave in charity. When they brought the piece of bread and put it on the scale, the side of the righteous deed, that's what helped him to defeat the evil ones. And he goes to paradise. You remember Sahib al-Bitaqa? You know, the person who went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with 99 scrolls of evil deed, sayyat. Kullu sujillin minha madd al-basar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sujil is as far as we can see. He has 99 of them. They are full of sins and ma'asi. then Rabbuka Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels to present him with the card. Nothing written on that card except La ilaha illallah. He also was belittling that. He was saying, Ya Allah, what does this card do against these books? They put, you know, that card, and subhanallah, فطاشت السجلات وثقلت البطاقة. The sijillat, all of them went very light, became so light in comparison to that piece of paper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive his sins. He goes to paradise. Rabbuka Kareem, don't lose hope. At the same time also, ma'asi. Don't forget, a person went to hell because of what? The cat she did not feed until death. She went to hell because of this. Don't forget, there was a time when a person was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a strange arrow came, and that man died during one of the battles. They said, Hani Allahu bil Jannah. They were congratulating him that he got Jannah free of charge. Because the arrow just came to him, he was just with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died because of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Kalla. He says, Wallah. إن الشملة التي غلها لتشتعل عليه في قبره نارا. He says no. He says والله, that piece of cloth that he took before the distribution of غنيمة, now Allah turned it into a fire for him in his grave. And lastly, remember that person, you know, who told his friend, والله لن يغفر الله لك. We read this hadith long ago. He was talking to his friends. You know, he was a da'i, a good person, a righteous person. But then he made a mistake. الَّذِي كَلَّفَهُ دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتُهُ. What was his mistake? Getting involved in the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without permission. Which many of us are doing nowadays, because everyone is a mufti, talking on behalf of Allah without permission. What is the permission? To study, to be qualified, to know what you're doing, and to believe that yes, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, then say it. If not, just keep quiet. Somebody is going to do it. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man has been, you know, talking to his friend, his brother. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do this. Be righteous. This is wrong. He got tired one day. He looked at his brother or friend who is committing sin, he told him, Wallahi, لن يغفر الله لك. He says, Wallah, لن يغفر الله لك. He says, Allah will never forgive your sin. أعوذ بالله. You can just say, I'm afraid that you go and get into trouble. And Ibrahim alayhi salam told his father, يا أبت إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن. He never said, Ya Abati, Allah will never forgive you. Allah will punish you, definitely. He said, I have a fear. If you don't change, you might be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why you should be telling somebody who is committing sin. Be careful. You might go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get into trouble. So you better stop. But don't say, Allah will never do. How do you know? How do you know? This man told him, he said, Wallahi, لن يغفر الله لك. He says, Wallahi, Allah will never forgive your sins. Subhanallah. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to the prophet of that person to ask him this question. من الذي يتألى علي ألا أغفر لفلان. Who is that person who has the courage, you know, to open his mouth and swear by my name? Ta'li, this is al-half. Who is swearing by my name? Allah أَغْفِرَ لِفُولَانِ, that I will never forgive so and so. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah told him, فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَأَحْبَطْتُ عَمَلَكَ. SubhanAllah. Allah says, inform him that I forgive that person and I destroy the righteous deed of the one who said I will not forgive. That's why in some narration, the text that we got from the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, saying to him, لِيَسْتَأْنِفِ الْعَمَلِ, let him start from the scratch. What does that mean? All of his righteous deeds have been destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that single word. Abu Huraira, whenever he read this hadith, He used to say, Kalimatun awbaqat dunyahu wa akhiratahu. He said, it was one word that he says, which destroyed his dunya and the akhirah. That's why when dealing with Rabbul Alameen, wallahi, we have to be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْحَذِّرُكُمْ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. You're qualified, do. You're not qualified, don't do. It's better for you. Actually, it's not fancy for you to give fatwa. Wallahi, it's not. It's not. Yeah, we love to be called Sheikh, Ustaz, Taliban, and all of these things, you know. No, it's not fancy. People do it, let them do it. You shouldn't pay attention to it. And don't let this, you know, deceive you in the way you go and talk on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. As one of the scholars said, whoever refuses, you know, to say la adri, usibat maqatilu. You know, maqtal are the places where if somebody hits you on that place, you might lose your life. Yeah, those of you who are led in self-defense, I'm pretty sure they told you this. There are places and areas in the body of human beings, if you were to hit that place, a person might lose his life. He said, maqatil. He said, if you are not willing to say la adri, I don't know. Well, I will live with our great scholars, very, very great scholars. You might say, you never see somebody like them, you know. But subhanAllah, how many times they will be asked, la adri, la adri, la adri, la adri. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abadi, you will count this a lot, his halaqa. La adri, la adri. Does that reduce his, you know, respect that we have in our heart towards him? Never. Actually, it gives people more assurance that whatever they get from him, inshallah, is what the Sheikh believes is correct. And wherever they go, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, when they are looking for a right answer, they will get the same one. That's why they said, man qala la adri, qad afta. I love the statement of one of the scholars who said, you must understand that if somebody asks you about a matter and you told him the answer, you know, and you know that you're not qualified to do that, you're not sure about it, he said, you should know that you are actually taking him out of his musiba by putting yourself inside that musiba. This is how it is, you know. He asks you, and then you tell him, well, you're not sure, just give fatwa in the deed, you know, from your own self, without having any reference. So what are you doing? You're giving him relief. Because for him, if he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, his side is okay if he believes that you are qualified to give the fatwa. Because as a layman, it is my responsibility to make sure that the one I am asking qualifies to be asked. That's number one. And also he has taqwa, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things I must do. Must make sure that this person fears Allah, especially in our time. Yeah, because there are some people who, in terms of knowledge, they're very knowledgeable people. But unfortunately, dunya blinded their eyes. They don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their fatwa. That's why the scholar said, Al-Ami, you know, the layman in the society, he also has to do ijtihad in selecting the best among the scholars in the community and somebody that, based on the recommendation of the community, this person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go and take. If that person gave him fatwa, he uses what he told him. If what he told him is correct, both of them will be rewarded. If he is wrong in his fatwa, the man who is asking is okay, his side is fine. He will not get into trouble when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi-idhnillah, because he did what Allah asked him to do. فَسَأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The issue remained with the one who is giving the fatwa, whether he qualifies or not. If he qualifies and he made a mistake accidentally, he's also not going to get into trouble. But if he's intentionally messing up the fatwa, giving him the wrong fatwa to cheat in the deal, he will be in trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or in the situation where he knows he's not qualified, but he still gives the fatwa, he will be in trouble when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and ability to, you know, stick to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of our affairs. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, so today alhamdulillah we have only one question, which is about clarification on what we were just discussing. The questioner says, if a person says to the one who asked him, I don't have knowledge right now, but inshallah I will come back to you, would that be correct? Yes, definitely this is what is wajib upon him. Because sometimes it's good to receive questions about these matters that you don't know. Yeah, as an honest student of knowledge, scholar, whoever you are, this is actually and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to go and study, do muraja'ah. You know this knowledge? Yeah. There is no deficiency concerning you don't know something. The deficiency is all about you don't study, you are not studying. You should always be ready to go and expand your knowledge. Because trust me, there is nobody on earth who knows everything in the Sharia except the Rasul. The only one who knows everything in Islam is Rasulullah. No companions that ever claimed that he knows everything. No scholar among all the scholars, none of them ever claimed that he knows everything. It is only in our time we hear some people who, I don't know what happened to their thinking, you know. They will tell you, my sheikh has gone through everything you're talking about. I don't know. How did he manage to think that his sheikh is better than the companions of the Prophet ﷺ? Yeah, but that's fine. You can understand that because some of these type of people believe that our scholars, the contemporary scholars, are more knowledgeable than the companions and their predecessors, tabi'un, tabi'un. And some of them believe that we have more knowledge than them, and more accurate than them. A'udhu billah, how can somebody think about this? Even to think about it, Allah, how can somebody think about this, that his knowledge is better than the knowledge of Abu Bakr and Umar? Malik, Imam Shafi, Allah, this is similar to Sakran. You know, that's why Al-Hanafi said in one of his writings, he says, this statement is very bad and is wrong, very wrong actually. He said, wallahi, tariqatuhum a'lam wa aslam. Because this person was saying that tariqatuna a'lam wa ahkam wa tariqatuhum aslam. He says, no, this is wrong. Their way has more knowledge, more accurate, and more safer. He says, mamtaz al-awaluna ala mamtaz al-mutaakhiruna ala al-mutaqaddimin illa bi kathrat al-kalam. He said, we never supersede them in anything except that we talk too much. He said, baynama al-qawmu mushtaghiluna bi al-qawa'id wa-dawabit. They always focus on principles, those simple sentences, but they have bigger meaning. And we always focus on details, how to expand things, you know. So it's good for a person to know his position and to understand this method correctly. That is a ni'mah, somebody asking you a question that you don't know. You should be brave and tell him, I don't know. Only in our time, you know, this is taking place. You know, you think that it is deficiency to tell my student, I don't know. Why is it deficiency? Uqsimu billah, it is deficiency for you to talk without knowledge. Saying I don't know is not deficiency at all. Imam Malik, when that person told him, I have 40 something questions to you, he answered only a few. The rest he told him, go back to the Ahlul Maghrib and tell them, I don't know. He said, I came all the way from Morocco to Medina to ask you this question, and people have been waiting for this moment, and now you want me to go and tell them you don't know? He said, yes. Go and tell them you asked Malik, and Malik said he doesn't know. It's as simple as this, you know. Did that reduce the qadr of Imam Malik? Never. All of them are like that. So we also have to take the same manhaj if we want to succeed in our life. Wallahi, as I said, it is not funny talking on behalf of Allah. Wallahi, it's not funny. If you don't know, keep quiet. Let somebody do the job. Don't put yourself into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in trying to show some people that you are so-and-so and so person. You will regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.